You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get a quote at progressive.com today. We're going out to the guest line where Rachel Hotmire is joining us, NBC 26, to talk about the Green Bay Packers who are welcoming in San Francisco this weekend. How are you, Rachel?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So we always talk about bye weeks, and we always say this is a chance to get healthy. That being said, how healthy are these Green Bay Packers?
I think this could be the healthiest they've been in a long time. They have a lot of players potentially coming back in the next week or so that they've been looking forward to for a long time. You have Za'Darius Smith back at practice. Jair Alexander has been practicing for a few weeks as well. Bakhtiari took some snaps last time, so now he's more heavily back in rotation. And Matt LaFleur made it very clear that this was not a normal bye week. They still had full workouts, even if it was condensed. Guys were coming in for workouts and practice. They still made sure that they were definitely working on this bye week without the game.
For a lot of average fans who get a few Packer games a year and see them on prime time, there's a familiarity with what Rodgers does with Devontae Adams and how the Packers look. But getting into the deep details of the way this particular season has gone, what are some things that stand out that may not be as familiar to the way the Packers have had success in the past? Is there anything different about the way they've been doing business this year?
Their defense has been different for sure. After Mike Pettine left, you know, you have Joe Barry taking over back in the coordinator role as he has been a couple times in his career. And it's a different look than we've seen, even though there are still schematic similarities. The communication, the proactive ball chasing, you know, being able to collapse the pocket in unity. The Packers defense, to me, does look like a new and improved team. And you see guys really stepping up that haven't had those opportunities before. I mean, when people ask me for my unsung players of the year this year, it's Chris Barnes and Dean Lowry, just absolutely being able to take advantage of a unit that's really had injuries and they've had to deal with players in and out every single week, but the consistency of their performance hasn't changed.
All right, let's about the 49ers. This is a physical team. They run the ball particularly well. You brought up the Packers defense. How has that matchup been viewed early on in the week?
It's going to be interesting because at the end of the day, it's not a quarterback battle, but it's definitely going to be Packers defense versus Jimmy Garoppolo. Does he have a good arm? Yes. Is he a significant, productive quarterback? Of course. But I think it's easy to tell that Jimmy Garoppolo remains Cliff's number one because of the way he can run the system. You know how much it really requires him to use, pay attention on the motion, stuff like that. He doesn't have to have the most accurate arm, but it says a lot these days to have a quarterback that can run a system. So it's obvious why he's still in charge, you know, over Trey Lance. But at the end of the day, Packers defense has to use this opportunity to get into him early and not let him stall, take up too much time in the pocket, and force as many misfires as they can for a quarterback that isn't the most accurate in the league.
How will the Packers defend a guy like Deebo Samuel, who's now kind of emerging as this different kind of threat, this running, receiving threat that has been unveiled with the 49ers?
It's really tough. You know, when the Packers played the 49ers in week three, Deebo caught 7 of 9 targets for 92 yards, and that was with Jair Alexander on the field. And obviously, Packers defense hasn't had Jair Alexander much since then, but it's going to be tough. And now that the Packers have all these cornerbacks back, now they're facing their own predicament of, okay, how do we use all this talent? You have Jair back for the first time in a while. What do you do with Rasul Douglas? Eric Stokes, how do you balance the secondary? So it's going to be really interesting to see how they address it, but it's got to be sticky coverage.
I have this thing that I kind of bring up a lot, which is I see teams, they get to a Super Bowl or get to an NFC or AFC championship game, and they lose, and they suffer kind of a loss where, you know, if I could get it back, I would. And so what they end up doing is they kind of lug through the season because they just are like, get me back to what I just had because I need to make amends for what I just had. The Packers did not seem to do that. They seem to be coming right out of the gate, played strong all season. How do they handle the fact that they haven't gone to as many Super Bowls as the talent on paper has indicated?
Yeah, that's definitely an issue that sticks with a lot of players personally about the talent that they've had on the field, personnel, you name it, and that they haven't been able to get past the NFC Conference Championship in more than 10 years. especially when you think about that their path to Los Angeles this year could require them beating the Niners, who beat them in the conference championship in 2019, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who beat them last year. So yeah, it could really be a revenge tour that runs through Lambeau at this point. However, you have to have a fresh slate, and a lot of them talk about that. You know, you have the hard loss, and then you move on. And I think there was a lot of momentum with Rodgers' return that, yes, everybody knew what the goal was, but you still have to take it one game at a time. And again, this team has faced so many injuries that every week has truly felt like a almost different elements of a team coming alive. There was never back-to-back weeks where it was the same players turning out and performing and putting this team on their back. It was just such a rotation. So, yeah, they've really had to, you know, do the mental work in terms of getting through the season on strong notes in order to actually make it here.
And in Lambeau Field, can give us an idea of how different it was last year when the Buccaneers went up there compared to what it should be if they were to get, or even this weekend when they host full house playoff games.
Absolutely. It's going to be nothing short of incredible. I'm personally very excited to see it because I haven't been able to see a postseason run at Lambeau yet with a full house. So last year with the Bucs, you know, there were fans at that point, but it was very limited, a couple thousand. And honestly, a lot of them were related to employees of the team or something like that. It wasn't like end all be all, tickets are on sale. So while it was exciting, you know, you could still see more bleacher surface than fans. It was never more than maybe a quarter full, because on a full game day, you got 78,000 fans there. It is truly deafening sometimes, and you look out into the crowd and you can't see a single available seat. You see green and gold and white and, you know, sometimes blaze orange for hunting gear too. So it's going to be a surreal scene, I think, for a lot of people in football to be at this stadium this year and see a beautiful sight that it just feels rarer and rarer these days.
Let's talk a little bit about adversity. And when you talk about a 13-4 team, there's not been a lot of moments where it felt like it was coming apart and they had to bring it together. I mean, if you look at their losses, the first game of the season that had to be moved to Jacksonville, Jordan Love is playing against Kansas City, the Vikings loss, okay, you lose to a division rival, and then the end of the game when you have nothing to play for. There hasn't been a moment where the team has sort of struggled losing three or four in a short period of time. That being said, has there been moments where the team has felt like, hey, we better shore up some things or we're going to get hurt here?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely the January loss to Detroit, that was concerning for a lot of people, especially LaFleur, and he was very vocal about it in this press conference. Actually, you know, PR tried to end the press conference early, and LaFleur said he's not done, and he kind of took the opportunity to speak to his locker room through the press conference, just like Rodgers claims he does so much. That was definitely a concerning loss because for them, the defense couldn't even manage what the Lions were putting out there. They got fooled by so many trick plays, and it was embarrassing for them who wanted to put another win on the scoreboard. So I would say that did set the tone for their bye week. I think they were always planning to have a very productive bye week to avoid the rest versus rust debate, but that seriously changed the mentality of, okay, do they still have it together? Are they still clicking at the best speed and connectivity possible in order to go full steam ahead? I mean, it's win or go home.
I might be asking you to put the cart way before the horse here, so forgive me, but I do want to ask you about the relationship with Rodgers and the organization now that we've had a full season. It was more interesting in the offseason, I get it, but he has now had a full year with this team, with this organization, them doing the things that he wanted to do. It's a number one seed. It's two wins away from a Super Bowl, two home wins away from a Super Bowl, something that they haven't really, you know, seen in a while, where had a chance last year. But that being said, how is the temperature between Rodgers and the organization?
It seems fine for now because he's very much someone who, okay, it's football time. Like, nobody on either end, I'm sure, has even mentioned the financial aspect of next year, of what's to come. You know, every now and then in some appearances or on Pat McAfee, Rodgers has mentioned, like, yep, it'll be a quick decision, what I decide to do in the offseason, but we're not there yet. So for everybody involved, they're really just focused on right now. And I think that's keeping everybody in relatively good spirits because they're winning mostly. Again, they're focused on the game in front of them. You see Rodgers will talk to Gutekunst sometimes on the sideline at practice. Everything seems fine. Everything seems normal. It's almost like encapsulated in a bubble, if you will.
What did you see in that Cowboy Niners game, if anything, that Rodgers and that offense could have trouble with?
It's that Niners pass rush. I mean, with a healthy Trent Williams, that's going to be an issue, especially for a Packers O-line that, yes, is getting David Bakhtiari back. You have Lucas Patrick off of reserve COVID. But ultimately, the O-line for the Packers has still been the most fragile unit of the season. And they just got a huge key piece back, but that doesn't mean you're clicking at full speed. And LaFleur said it would be a priority this week to figure out who their healthiest five and who their best five are. And there could be a difference in that. But ultimately, that pass rush is simply dominating, to say the least. It's easily one of the best in the league. I think that's really what has carried the Niners here. And that's going to be something to watch for Saturday night.
Rachel, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Hope to catch up with you down the road. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it. Rachel Hotmeyer again, NBC 26 in Green Bay on the Packers. Taking on, again, the 49ers, who, again, will bring a physical team with a good pass rush. And everything that she mentioned earlier, they met in week three. It was a Packers victory, but I caution people to be careful of these early games in the season when teams are sort of feeling everything out and, you know, there's roster moves and players, this player didn't play and that player didn't play and this player was available. Now he's not available, whatever it may be. We're going to see it with the Bills and Chiefs. Like we talked to Sal Capaccio in hour number two, just a different Kansas City team that Buffalo played and two teams kind of different now. Same thing here. This was a week three game. The Packers won. Sure, the main players are kind of still there. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's Jimmy Garoppolo. It's whatever. But nevertheless, it's not, I don't think it's really indicative to look and say, well, the Packers did things this way. The Niners did things this way. Therefore, I think it's going to play out in similar fashion. It may not play that way at all. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this hour, and wrap up this show. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.